Friends of the Bible School, it's good to be here. For the short talk that I have this morning, if you care to, I'd like you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. I want to read the first verse and a portion of the second. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We see from these words of Paul that we have a race to run. Every person who would gain an entrance into God's kingdom and live and reign with Christ must run this race that is set before him. There is no other way to enter the kingdom except over the racetrack of life. In all races, at school track meets, you younger people, especially I know are familiar with the races that you have in track meets, both high school, colleges. But in all races, the contestant who enters the race must abide by a set of rules, and he must also qualify before he can enter into the race. So it is with the race that we're talking about this morning, the race that leads to eternal life. On the blackboard over here, I've made a couple of lines. I'm comparing this race that we enter for life eternal with a race that I think is more like the race that we have to run to gain eternal life, and that is the hurdles. It's a race that has to be run just exactly right. In much of Paul's writings, he uses examples that the people of his day were familiar with. And they were familiar with races because it was a surprise to me to find it out, but the Olympic Games were started some 300 years before Christ. And the Greeks, of course, we all know that the Greeks were real athletic people. And Paul uses examples like that the people that he was writing to could understand and know what he was talking about. As I said before, all contestants who enter a race must qualify before they can enter the race. And it's also true for the race that leads to eternal life. We have to qualify for that race the same as for the others. This hurdle race that I'm talking about, the contestant has to practice daily for a long period of time. It's almost a race of perfectionists. Between each hurdle, of course, it's the same distance between each hurdle, but he has to make his stride where he can get out of step. Every step has to be the same where he can go over that hurdle without losing stride. When he breaks stride, he loses ground or loses time, and some other contestant may overtake him or he'll lose out of the race. Also, he has to clear the hurdle, or it used to be the rules, I don't know now. He could maybe knock down two hurdles before disqualification. But if he knocked down a certain number of hurdles, he was disqualified. But they tell me now that's not so, that he can knock them all down if he wants to, as long as he can go on and finish the race. I don't know. But I do know that in the race that we run for eternal life, we have hurdles, we have obstacles, we have barriers that we have to go over. We have to clear them. We have to go over them and continue our race to the end. I have listed here a number of rules and regulations that the contestant that runs the race for life must abide by. First, the Christian race has a starting place, the same as the other races. And after qualifying, the race begins at baptism, or when one is baptized into Jesus Christ, or into Christ's name. That's when the development, as the brother spoke on the other night, the potentials, your potentials, you begin to develop or to fully realize or work out your potentials during that period. After qualifying, the qualifying begins when one is baptized into Jesus Christ and becomes a new creature. Jesus told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." When Jesus gave this great commission, he made it plain what this new birth meant when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. At the time of our baptism, we offer ourselves to God, and this is the start of our race. The second group, the Christian race has a set of rules, the same as other races. Neither rules for entering or the rules for running this race are given by man. Rather, they must obey rules that are given by God through inspired men. All these inspired men say that if we are to run a good race, we must keep our eyes on the goal, always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is foolish for a man to try to run a good race with his eyes on the world, or anything else for that matter, except Jesus Christ. This is one of the most important rules. Keep your eyes on your goal. One must run with his affections set on things above, not on things of this earth. Paul says in Colossians 3:2, set your affections or your minds on things above, not on things of this earth. Anyone who runs must run with shod feet. Not only with shod feet, but we are told to take the whole armor of God, having our loins girded with truth, and have on the breastplate of righteousness. Third, the Christian runner has definite instructions while running the race. He must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. He must always abound in the work of the Lord, which calls for prayer and meditation on God's word. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The runner must also hold forth the word of life for a darkened world. Matthew 5:16 tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Philippians 2:16 tells us, "Hold forth the word of life that we might rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not run in vain nor labored in vain." The world lies in darkness, as John tells us, and the gospel is the only light, and it must be held high for us to better run the race. No person can run a good race that does not hold the word high. Fourth, the Christian race has a schedule. This race must be run during our lifetime, and it must last all the days of our life. There are many who would like the reward of the race, but there are few who are willing to run to gain that reward. The reward is only for those who make the race a daily schedule. The day is before us, And Jesus warns us that night will come, that night will surely come when no man can work. This life is a sowing time, and those who refuse to sow the good seed cannot expect to reap the harvest. We should not concern ourselves with tomorrow or the next day. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day of salvation. Let us take thought of how we spend our time and how it is being used. How much time do we spend in prayer and in meditation? And how much time do we spend on the cares of this world? Make a comparison. Fifth, the race has many hindrances or hurdles. One of our greatest hindrances is lack of faith. Remember Peter when he was walking on the water and saw the wind and the waves? He began to sink and called on Jesus to save him. And Jesus chided him for doubting and losing faith. Doubt and lack of faith can hinder us in our race. Our fleshly weaknesses are also a hurdle for us to jump. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. Some problem or weight that we are carrying may hinder us. Remember, Paul says, lay aside every weight. I'm reminded of how I remember Brother Dunaway used to give the example of the runners at that day, and you younger children will remember how it feels in spring, when you first pull off your shoes to go barefooted, you feel like you could outrun anything in the world. You have shedded a weight. But the runners back in those early Olympic games wore weights on their feet all the time. They during their daily life, they wore weights. When they put them off, they felt light. They shedded the weight. That's the thing that we have to do. Lay aside every weight. We are told to lay aside every weight, and this is easiest done when we go to God with our problems and ask His help and guidance. We cannot win the race on our own strength. We have to have help, and the best way to get it is to put our faith and our trust in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even people, our best friends, can be a hindrance or a snare to us. Some of us just can't hardly stand to be made, fun of, I'll say, or trying to swim against the current or to buck the tide. It's so easy to drift along with the current, but it's hard to go against the current. And when people see you trying to do that, some of them will ridicule you, call you an oddball for trying to go in the opposite direction from what the world goes. But that's what we're commanded to do. No matter how many hurdles we may run across in our race, we have the sure word that we won't have to run in darkness or without a light. No matter how dark the way seems, how dark the night is, how dark the cloud or the storm that confronts us, we have the sure word of prophecy that we won't have to run in darkness. Because God tells us in Psalms, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. This word, that's the light. If we will only let God's word guide us, we can win the race. Sixth, the Christian race has a goal. The goal is not to become a failure or to grow weary and fall by the wayside. Rather, our goal is to fulfill our calling. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Again, Paul says in 2 Peter 1:10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." If you do these things, what things is he talking about? First, we have faith. As I have mentioned before, faith is the important thing. We must have faith. Then we must add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and last, but by no means least, charity or love. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was cleansed from his sins, and that he was entered into the race for eternal life. Seventh and last of all, the Christian runner who holds out unto the end will be rewarded. It won't be a gold medal or a bronze medal. 2 Peter 1:11 tells us, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Thank you.